morning, Hongdae. Good afternoon to all the MP campuses that are watching the video. I feel like I'm preaching to this pool, but I'm just going to try to skip over and preach to you. Today is a baptism Sunday, very special Sunday. It's my joy and privilege to release this word. I'm really, really excited. Are you guys excited? So, my name is Myeongwa Choi. I'm one of the pastors at Hongdae campus. I've been at New Philly for about 10 years. I came as a non-believer, now I'm one of the pastors. So, that's enough intro. We're just going to jump right into the scripture. Let's turn to Psalm 150. If you have your Bibles, please open it with me. Psalm 150, the last psalm in that book. I'll be reading from ESV. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Come on now. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And everyone says, praise the Lord. Amen. Today, I'm going to preach on praising God. Everyone say, praising God. I'm going to talk about how praise is the true indication of how you are actually doing, whether you're full of praise or there may be absence of praise. That kind of tells you how you are actually spiritually doing, and also how to grow in our praise life. And also, I'm going to shoot some lies down that hinders us from praising our God. First off, I want to distinguish praise from the word worship. So some people kind of interchangeably mix those things up, praise and worship. But I just want to make a distinction for this sermon, just to give you clarity. Worship is a very broad term. It's like an umbrella term. So you know how the Bible says we are the living sacrifice unto God? So anything in life, anything, any aspect of your life, whether that's religious or non-religious, could be an act of worship. For example, resting. Oh, your sleep could be a worship unto the Lord. Every aspect, like reading the word, giving offering, loving on people, studying, right? Working, okay? Staying in your office, doing your office jobs, performing art, cooking, cultivating your hobbies. Any of these activities could be aspect of worship if they are done with the heart to glorify His name. Worship is that. It's a lifestyle. You do it when you're sleeping. You do it when you're awake. Worship is a lifestyle. Praise, particularly, and in this specifically, is an act of offering thanks, giving glory and honor to God, or proclaiming His character or His deeds. So praise could be done in multiple ways. Like a major form of it is, one, prayer. You know, you tell God, God, you are righteous, you are just, you are faithful, you are good. That's a form of prayer in a way that you could praise Him, right? And also sharing with other people. You share your testimony. You know what happened to me last week? Hey, God is so good to me. You know, that's a form of praise. You're praising God by sharing with other people. And also, in our culture specifically, very commonly, it comes with the musical element. What did we just do? We just sang a bunch of songs led by our awesome pastor, Suzy Park at Hongdae. And I'm sure other campuses had an anointed worship. That's how we often worship the Lord. Very commonly with the musical element. Whether you're good at singing or not, you know, God doesn't really care, okay? Just praise Him with your songs, sometimes spontaneous songs. That's how we worship and how we give God praise. Is that clear? Praise is kind of like underneath the umbrella of worship. Everyone got it? Very good. In New Philly, our church is a church that has a very, I'll say, powerful, passionate, and free environment to praise God. Would you guys agree? What is our number one core value? Be extravagant in worship, right? You know, if you come to our church, if you're new, you probably notice that we pray out loud. Actually, not just in our minds. We pray out loud. We sing very loudly, you know? And then we hear very often, yes, you know? You guys hear that? I love you, Henry Spice. You know, And you know, maybe at Busan, you guys have your Jincheong, you know? You know, you guys have this extravagant worshipers and praise people praising, but you know, some people call it that's very distinct about New Philly, very special. But I would just call it very normal, according to the biblical standard. We're a very normal church. If you read the Bible, especially the book of Psalms, it tells you to do these things. Be loud. Right? Come on, be loud. And it actually tells you, come on, instrument players, tells you to be skillful. You know, did you just see Zach rocking on that, the guitar thing, you know? You know, did you guys see that? That was amazing. And the Bible tells people to play skillfully. Practice and play well. That's according to the Bible. It's not like a one-man show. It's according to the Bible. Also, the Bible tells us to rejoice and dance. I'm going to move on. And then tells you to clap your hands. That I can do. Clap your hands. Tells you to lift up your hands. Tells you to give a shout unto the Lord. Make some noise. These are very normal aspects of praise. Nothing foreign. Very standard, just Christian, nothing charismatic. It's just biblical, you know, people of God. We just praise Him, you know. So these are all found in the Bible, and they almost sound like, it sounds like a DJ at a hip-hop concert or something, you know. Like, you know, DJs go like, put your hands up. You know, the Bible says put your hands up. Its wording is a little different. Make some noise, you know. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, DJs are copying the Bible. They got it from the Bible. That's where they got it, you know. Make some noise, put your hands up. That's all from the Bible. That's how we ought to worship our God. That's how we ought to praise. And praise is not just for musicians. Can I just throw it out there? It's not just for worship leaders. It's for every single one of us, every believer, you and I. We are called to cultivate a lifestyle of praise. And that's what we're called to do. Verse 6, the Psalm 150, verse 6, we just read it. It really gives us no excuse. It says everybody who has breath. Who here does not have breath? You really shouldn't be sitting here then, right? If you're alive, praise the Lord. Give me an excuse. If you're alive today, give praise to the Lord. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell them this. You need to praise God. Yeah, you need to praise God today. And let me ask you this. How was your praise today? How was your praise today? You know, oh, praise was so good. Man, Pastor Sermon, not Sermon, Pastor Herman. Pastor Herman. He's from Busan. Pastor Herman led my favorite song today. And man, Pastor Mark, you always makes me cry. He's my favorite. You know, oh, Pastor this, that. Praise that was awesome. But let me ask you this question then. How was your praise yesterday? We had no church yesterday, by the way, right? Oh, what do you mean yesterday? Did I miss something? Let me reword it. How will your praise be tomorrow morning? Monday morning. 7 a.m. How will your praise be? A.W. Tozer, he's a theologian and a really good Christian writer. He wrote, if you can't worship him on Monday, you didn't worship him on Sunday. If you don't worship him on Saturday, you are not in a very good shape to worship him on Sunday. Oh, let the conviction just spread to your heart. So let me ask you again, how's your praise today? Not about the praise set, not just about that. How is your praise life? How is your praise life? No matter how you're doing, you know, some of you, I know you're doing great. Some of you are lacking in this area. And I believe that everyone can take something from this message today and apply into your life right away. Do you guys want to have a rich life of praise? So every single day, whether it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday, you praise God, you know? That's what I really want to build up, not just on extravagant worship on Sunday, but every single day of your life. And these are four tips that I came up with that's going to really help you cultivate this lifestyle of praise. If you're taking notes, number one is this. You gotta express it. Everyone say it. You gotta express it. You know, some people say like, oh, I know God is good. I'm thinking it all the time. So it's not my personality to show it and express it. All right, good point. But let me describe that, what it looks like in a relationship setting, okay? So if the wife goes, hey, honey, what do you think about my new dress? You didn't say anything yet, all right? And the husband goes, oh, really beautiful. Looks nice on you. I was thinking it, but I just didn't say it out loud. You know what that means to the girl? It means nothing, okay? you should have said it, you know? You'd have said it before I asked you. Oh, that's what she's really thinking, okay? Well, what if like a wife says, hey, it's our 3rd year anniversary today, honey, and you haven't really told me that you love me for the past 3 years. What's going on? And the husband be like, duh, don't you know? I said it on our wedding day. Come on. Do I have to repeat myself? What kind of husband? Good luck with the marriage, okay? And brothers and sisters, that's not how it works. If you love, you gotta express it. If you're thinking it, yeah, I have it in my heart, nobody knows it, right? And yeah, God sees your heart. God searches your soul. But the fact is, he wants to hear it. He wants you to say it. That's his heart. You know, God is really passionate and zealous about his glory. The Bible says he's not going to share the glory with anyone else. You know, God's not like a narcissistic person. He's just God, right? All he really cares about his glory and the praises that come to him. And he has the right to do so. He wants you to say it. Express it. It's giving things, not holding things. It's giving honor, not thinking honor. It's all about the expression. You got to express that you love him. Tell him what you really think about him. God, you did this today. And I just think that's amazing. God, you are so awesome. You know, just in simple ways, you can express how much you love him. You know, we can learn a lesson or two, not just in our relationship with the Lord, but with even people around you. Man of God, this is a tip for you. Okay, if you don't want to be in a relationship like I described earlier, just learn this, okay? Write it down. Say the obvious. Say the obvious. You know, you might be thinking, she already knows that. Just say the obvious. Hey, you look cute. You look beautiful. Your cooking tastes amazing. All the stuff, right? Say the obvious. And second, repeat. Okay? Say it again. And again and again and again, right? Okay, I know I'm awesome. Stop telling me how awesome I am. Said no woman ever, okay? She will never say that, okay? Come on, so sisters, do you say amen to that? You never get tired of hearing that. Oh, you look pretty. You look awesome. Tell me more, all right? Tell me more. No one will ever get sick of that. Just like that God wants to hear it. I mean, I told him yesterday. I tell him again today. You tell him again. Praise him on a daily basis. Appreciate and affirm him on a daily basis. And it's all about really expression. And that's going to really build a strong foundation of your relationship with the Lord. Second point is this. Get to know him better and deeper. Get to know God better and deeper. To try praying for a set amount of time each day, but only with praising him. Like not like petition, not like intercession for nations, but in your prayer, try. It's just like TV, you know? 10 minutes a day, only praising him. I'm telling you, if you try this, you will realize how quickly you run out of words. So a sister challenged me to do this. She's an Aussie, actually, that I know, a sister. And she was telling me like how she just kept repeating herself. You know, God, you are faithful. You are holy, and you are King of Kings and Lord of the Rings, and you know what she really meant was Lord of Lords. But she just realized that, like, what am I saying? You know, she's saying all these things, but she realized that there was no depth to it. You know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. She was saying all these holy and good things, but she realized that, man, I gotta go deeper. I know all these terms, but it doesn't hit my heart like it should. You know, it's not piercing through my soul, you know? So when you try this, you will realize, man, I really need to develop a lifestyle of praise. You don't praise him enough because you don't know him well enough. That's just a lot of times what we are doing. We feel like we don't have anything to praise him about because you just haven't found out how amazing he truly is. You know, it is a foolishness for men to think that we will be ever able to comprehend God in his fullness. That's just not possible. But if you seek him, the Bible says he will be found. If you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. And that's how we need to continue to go deeper and get to know him better. I'm not saying it's all about acquiring more knowledge, you know, or know him better, make your prayers more elaborate, you know, like fancy. No, the Bible actually tells you not to do that. That's not really pleasing to the Lord. I'm not saying spit out all those empty words that are fancy, but I am saying it's all about the depths. It's all about the sincerity that comes from understanding what that means to you. It's all about that. You know, in seminary, I went to seminary 2009 to 11 with Pastor Marcus and John, actually. We had a mandatory class called Christian Formation, right? It's a zero-credit course, but you have to take it to graduate. It's kind of like a group quiet time together. You know, professor comes in and a bunch of students, we just have quiet time, but in a group setting, right? And I didn't necessarily like the class, but I had to be there. And one of the activities that we did was professor will come in, and then he will like lead like a song or two, and they will be like singing together. And then he will like tell us to be quiet and silent and just wait upon the Lord for like 15 minutes. And then he will like throw out alphabets, right? A. And then like Pakwon style, like in the room, anyone could call out God's name or attributes that starts with the letter A, right? So like anything like Alpha and Omega, someone will say. And then like another person will say, what starts with an A? Come on, give me one. Awesome, awesome. Oh, that's good. The Almighty, Anointed One. And then we'll go on and on and on. And then we'll move on to like B. And some letters is silence because you can't find anything, you know, like X, what? You know, and like B, like, oh, best friend, you know? C, oh, creator. And people will just popcorn style. We'll just praise him like that. D, deliverer. And, you know, E, oh, Emmanuel, you know? All these names of God. And F, and like Pastor John from the corner will be like, Father, you know? In the deep voice. It's not just Father, guys. It's Father, you know? Pastor John, say it right now. Say it, Father. Come on. And you just can tell that there's depths to it. You know, John, Pastor John knows, man, he's my Father, you know? It just was powerful. You know, we threw out a lot of names and attributes of God, but how many of those you can practice in your journaling? How many of those do you actually know what you're saying? You know, what do you mean by Alpha and Omega? What does that mean to you? You know, Emmanuel, how does that apply to you? You know, how does that minister to your heart? You know, don't just say the words, but get to know him better and deeper. It's time to dig deeper, guys. And I always want to keep things practical. How do I do that? That may be your question. And when we try to do that, I would say start with the scripture. The Bible that you have. If you don't have one, buy one, please. The Bible is a written revelation of God. What that means is revelation is God revealing himself to us. In a written form, that's a Bible. We can't find God. He has to reveal himself to us in his grace. And that's what he did. And when you open up the scripture, it tells us about God the Father. Tells us about the life of Jesus Christ, what the Holy Spirit does. And when you see that, you respond with praise. That's how it works. You know, every service, we start with what? Every campus, we start with call to worship. And it's not just reading the scripture out loud. What it is God opens up the scripture to us to reveal who he is. We usually read from Psalms, right? I am righteous, I am just, and that's who God is. And then, why is it called call to worship? Because he revealed himself to us so that we can praise him in response. When you get to see who God truly is, only way to really appropriately respond to it is to praise him. Wow, he reveals himself to me, and in response, I praise him. Get to know him deeper through the scripture. When you don't understand it, read it again. Look up some study Bibles, you know, go to like websites and search for it. You know, everyone has the ability and capability to do that. You know, why do you sometimes just read something and, oh, I don't get it? No, God wants to reveal himself to you through the scripture. Study it. Let's go deeper. The more you get to know him, the deeper your understanding goes, the praise will never leave your lips. If you are finding out who God is, how good truly he is, you will never be able to stop praising him. That's how we want to cultivate the culture of praise. You know, whatever that could be. I just talked about the Bible, but you could listen to sermons and that will tell you and give you more understanding of who God is. Read Christian books and hear other people's testimonies. Sometimes that's like the best way to like have a greater understanding of who God truly is. Listen to someone's story and how God moved in their lives. Exchange stories. Let's get to know him intentionally. You know, not just to wait for someone to give me something good, but dig deeper. Be intentional to get to know him on your daily life. And when we do that, we can't help but to grow in our praises to him. Amen? Third one is this. I really want to emphasize this point. Third point is, don't wait for the breakthrough. Do not wait for the breakthrough. What I mean by that is don't wait for it, just break through as a verb. Just break through. So I found this concept, a very, very powerful concept from Acts chapter 16. It's a famous story of Apostle Paul and Silas in prison. So what happens, to summarize the story, is they were in this town and they were doing ministry. They casted out a demon out of a slave girl, and then the owner of the slave got really upset, right? So he ended up accusing them, and they got publicly attacked by the crowd. And what they did was they stripped them naked. Bible doesn't say naked, but like took off their clothes. And then that's like public humiliation. That's a big deal. And they beat them with sticks. And the Bible clearly says many blows. So they got beat up that day. For doing what? Casting out a demon. Did they do something wrong? Do you think they felt pretty like misunderstood and ogure? Like feeling like the injustice? You know, this isn't right. I'm pretty sure I would have been really sad and upset if I were them, right? And then they also got thrown into the prison and they were chained up. Paul and Silas, that was their situation. But verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They praised God in the prison after they went through what they went through. And the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. I think what happened is breakthrough, literally. Shaking, earthquake happened, literally broke all the chains off. Prison doors opened up. That's something to be called a breakthrough. Do you guys agree? But the order of it, if you really think about it, you need to pay attention to the order. See, when this revelation really hit me was from like 2007. So I was serving at a children's ministry at a Korean church as a Bible study teacher. It's back in 2006 to 2008. I served there for 3 years. And I remember my boys were like 10, 11 years old and none of them wanted to be there, but they had to. Parents, you know, dragged them there. You know, you guys know Sunday school culture. So I had to do Bible study with these kids, right? And one of the activities was actually this Bible account, this story of Paul and Silas. And I was also a new believer, but I was, you know, trying to teach them the best. And, you know, you always have that one guy in your class, one kid, like, I'm already done, you know, or bragging and, you know, misbehaving, whatever. I had a boy like that, and he was like, I'm done. He's a PK, he's a pastor's kid. And then he goes, so it was about it was all like picture cards, and then they had to set the right order, right? So the series of events, and then you know, it was like casting out the demon, them getting persecuted, all these pictures. And then his order was like this. Casting a demon, got persecuted, they got thrown into the prison, God opened the door with an earthquake, and then they praised the Lord. So that was his order. He thought he was 100% right. But do you guys see that this is not the right order? Right? This boy's natural, simple, logical mind, this is how things were supposed to happen. Trouble, right? God breakthrough, and then you praise him. Concerns, parents' worries, God breaks through. Oh, now you praise him. That's how his mind worked. And a lot of times, that's how things work. But pay attention to the real order. What happened? Trouble, praise, then breakthrough. Why are you waiting for your breakthrough when you are able to just break through with your praise? Often, you hold back your praise during the waiting period. You want something, you know, but God's not giving it to you. You're kind of like pouty, sitting there. God, give it to me, and then I'll praise you. You know, you're not saying it, but that's what you're doing, pretty much, right? And you're going through a tough season. I'm not in a mood for that right now. You kind of just give God that, you know, I can't praise right now. This season's got to be over so that I can praise him freely. A lot of times, that's how we live. Trouble. Breakthrough, then I'll praise. But this scripture really teaches us in tough seasons, you don't have to take a break from praising God. In fact, you can praise him right then and there, and you're already breaking through. Think about this. You say, you know, if you ask any Christian, they will say, oh, why do you live? Oh, I live to glorify God. Right? That's like the standard. Perfect answer, right? You kind of had it memorized, right? But then think about this. You say it, but why are you so okay with spending days and weeks and even months watching the devil robbing you of your praise? Meanwhile, you are just not praising God, which you just said that is the purpose of my life. But for days, for weeks, and for months, you're so okay with, I'm not praising him. But you know, when he meets me, then I will. What about the wasted time in the middle? When you have the authority to overcome that and break through. Listen, nothing in your circumstances have to change for you to praise God. All that needs to change is you. All that needs to change is your mindset. Nothing in the circumstances have to change for you to praise God. You just need to change and start praising him. I may sound really harsh, but this is really the truth. You know, sometimes I come to church and I don't feel like worshiping. Really tired, feeling sick, you know, whatever the matter is, you know, my chest feeling really heavy about certain things. You know, sometimes anyone in this room may feel that way. But when I feel there, you know what I do? I end up singing louder than everyone else. I end up giving my all, like there's no tomorrow. You know, I pray and I praise. And then guess what? Apathy, what's apathy? It just leaves me right away. It's not called faking it, guys. When you do it, there is the power of breakthrough. You can actually break through. You're stronger than you think. Don't wait for the breakthrough. Break through with your praise. And there's a biblical foundation to this. One of the Hebrew words for worship, there are actually like multiple words, apparently like seven different words for praise in Hebrew words. And one of them is halar. Everyone say halar. This is material that I got from Pastor John Neufeld, so it should be accurate, right? Which means to shine, to boast, and to break through. That's a literal meaning of this word. And in Bible, it's often translated as to praise. To praise. To shine, if you think about it, you shine through what? Darkness. True? Do you shine through brightness or darkness? You shine through the darkness, right? When you go through a dark season, that's when to praise God. And what? Boast. To boast in the Lord, which a lot of times indicates that you're going through sufferings. So if this word was actually used in the Bible in context of constant suffering. And in that context, you boast in the Lord. And that's how you praise. And lastly, to break through, you break through what? A tough circumstance. Normally, when you talk about breaking through something, you're talking about opposition, talking about persecution, talking about tough stuff. And that's how you praise God. Praise is your breakthrough, according to this word. Praise is your breakthrough. And my heart was very moved to speak to some of our leaders of New Philly. When I was preparing for this message, I felt that God really wanted to speak to some of our longtime leaders. that some of you, you've been functioning fine, doing everything, your duties and responsibilities, but you haven't had that heartfelt praise to Him. You haven't been able to give it to Him for a while. For a while. And you know what that causes? It makes you feel dry. Makes you feel dead. And I just felt a lot of compassion for you guys. And my word for you today is don't wait around to be picked out of the crowd. Don't wait for anything else. You don't have to wait for that. Just break through today. You just need to holler today. Shine forth. Boast in the Lord. Break through. Through tough times. And you have the authority to do that. Lastly, my fourth point is this. Join the throne room. Now explain what that means. Join the throne room. You know, I kind of talked about this pattern that is very common. You know, trouble, breakthrough, then now I can praise, right? Problem, wait for the breakthrough, then, oh, I'll praise God. That, in its essence, is conditional worship, conditional praise. If you give me what I want, then I will give you praise, right? If you get so used to this pattern, which I don't think is biblical at all, you are going to be so confused when you get to heaven. You're going to be so confused because it's going to be like, if you read Revelation chapter 4, it describes the throne room of heaven. Throne room where God is seated and 24 elders are, you know, sitting in a circle, the four creatures. It's craziness. They're like having crazy worship party. And if you look at it, they go from, it's not like trouble breakthrough, nothing like that. It's just from praise to praise to praise to praise to praise and times infinity. Infinity, whatever. It just goes on and on and on. It goes from praise to praise to praise to praise to praise. All they do is praise. They don't wait for anything. There's nothing like that. You're just constantly praising the Lord. The elders are casting down their crowns. They're all wearing their crowns, right? And whatever their robes. And then they're casting it down. They're falling on the grounds to worship because they just saw the glimpse of God's glory. Whoa, God, they cast down their crowns and they fall down and then they, you know, like try to pick it up and then get back and then try to like, you know, fix your clothes and try to sit back down and then you see God's glory again and you're like, oh my goodness, throw the crown again and then fall down again. You know, if you are in that room thinking, oh, why are they doing that? Did I just miss something? What just happened? And they're going to be like, dude, nothing happened. He's just God. We worship our God. Nothing has to happen for you to worship Him. You worship Him for who He is. You see the glory. He is the glory. Not just that God is glory. He is the glory. When you see Him, when you find out more about Him, you just can't help but to cast down whatever crown that you're wearing. You fall down in worship. And you just praise Him. You are who was and who is to come. You just praise His name. And then you try to get up and then you do it again. It's not like, hey, what happened? Did I miss something? You didn't miss anything. He is God. We are not. We worship God. He's the creator. We are His creation. We are made to have relationship, to be loved by Him, and to praise Him. That's one of our destinies. We do what we are made to do. We praise Him. Nothing has to happen for you to praise Him. That's what I mean by join the throne room. Praise Him for who He is to you. What more needs to happen to you? Really think about it. He is a Father, the creator of you, who gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to save you from sin and death. And He has gained the full victory that will last forever. No man, no devil can touch you. You are forever loved. If you meditate upon this truth called the gospel, what more needs to happen for you to open up your mouth and praise Him? What are you waiting for to praise Him? What more than Jesus? What more than the gospel? Don't lose the wonder of what's already been done. You don't have to wait for something good to happen in your life to praise Him. No matter what happens in your life, you could still praise Him. I've seen people praise God at funerals. I've seen God praise, you know, when they lose someone, go through toughest times of their lives. I've seen people praising God through What are you waiting for? Join the throne room. Worship him for who he is. Do you guys know a song called Because of Who You Are? You know the song? Oh, Hanny, you can sing it for me? Oh, whoa, oh, you want to? Right, come up here. Help me out. I was going to sing it, but I don't think I can do it right now.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I give you worship. Because of who you are, I will lift my hands and say, I will worship you because of who you are. Let's go. Worship you because of you, you are Jehovah Jireh. That's right. My Lord.
Trust me, we did not plan this, okay? I was going to just sing it, okay? But wow, so much better than me. So this is a song, all that to say, this is a song that I offer to God when I'm going through a tough time. Yeah? This song is all about, I worship you because of who you are. You know, doesn't matter what's going through in my life, whatever difficulties are happening to me. You know, when I'm not particularly happy with my life, I offer this song to the Lord. A lot of times, I can't even sing it. I cry through the song. But still, that's fine. You offer this praise to him and say, I worship you because of who you are. Life changes, things come and go, but you do not change. That's why I worship you. I may not be faithful in everything, but God, you are faithful. That's why I worship you. You do not change. You are God. That's why I worship you. I want my life to resemble the throne room of God. No matter what happens in the world, the throne room is not affected by anything. It's not affected by MERS. It's not affected by anything, earthquakes on earth. Whatever happens, the throne room keeps going. Praise to praise to praise to praise. It's just fullness of God's praise up in that room, and it does not change. I want to challenge all of you. Cultivate this heart. Praise him no matter what. Praise him today. Praise him tomorrow. Praise him. Go from praise to praise to praise. When you reach that point, doesn't even matter whether you're waiting for a breakthrough, whether you have a trouble. It's just praise to praise to praise to praise. God is worthy of our praise. Amen? And I just thought the only way to appropriately end this message is to sing a song of praise as a community. So we're going to do that in a moment. But I don't even feel the need for altar call or, you know, we don't have space anyways. At Hyeongdae, you know, unless you want to jump into this pool and do something, please don't do that. I just think that this is a message for everyone, whether you are a new believer, whether you are a seasoned believer, a pastor, every single person can really grow in our praise unto God. And I just want to end with this practical teaching. There's another Hebrew word that is often translated as to praise. This word is yada. Everyone say yada. This word literally means to shoot out the hand. Okay? To hold out the hand, that's what this word means, and it's translated as to praise, right? You know, when you think about like an awesome worship atmosphere, what are people normally doing? Lifting up their hands, right? You know when photographers come towards you during worship? When your hands are lifted, okay? It looks pretty good in the pictures, okay? So You know how people joke about in the church? You know, like you can tell, you know, by how they worship, how they lift their hands, how holy they are. You know, if they're doing this, you know, then they're trying to be holy. You know, one hand raised, they're pretty holy. Oh, both hands raised. Oh, then they're really holy, right? And then they're swaying to the sides. Oh, then they are spirit-filled and holy, right? So you gotta go for girls like that, okay? Rocking back and forth, you know, that's like, oh, just kidding. You know, whatever way you want to do it, doesn't really matter. You know, whether that's all the way or angled or, you know, your fingers open or closed. Like, nobody cares about that, you know? I used to be so self-conscious about lifting my hands. And the most tricky part is when to lower it, you know? A lot of times I'm the only one and I'm like, when, man? And how slowly or how fast, you know? And I'm like, you know, so I try to, like, pretend I'm fixing my hair. And then lower it, you know. See, some people think about stuff like this. But none of that really matters. I'm just trying to make you guys laugh. But this actually is, lifting up hands is a biblical posture of worship. It's a very powerful symbol of praise. And, you know, when I was a new believer, I always wonder why people did that. What does that really mean? Like, you know, do you just feel good? Or, you know, what is this? You know, but I got comfortable with it. I kind of picked it up as a habit. And I started doing it in slow songs. You know, things like that. But I just want to kind of explain what that really symbolizes and what that really means when you do it. So whether you've been doing it or not, I think it could add to your kind of like the depths of worship, right? So first one is, it's really short, simple. You lift up your hand as a sign of intimacy. So like a little children asking to be picked up or be hugged, if you want to be held, you know what little kids do? They lift up their hands to their mom or dad, right? Pastor John Neufeld and Anita Neufeld, they have a beautiful daughter named Olivia at Schilling Campus. Olivia, hey. You watching me? And she just started speaking a little bit, right? So she says like, mama, mommy, daddy, things like that. Really cute. And one of the most frequently used words for her is up, right? So she lifts up her arms, those chubby arms, and then she goes, up, up. And that means pick me up. Hold me, hug me, is what she's communicating. Just like that, when we come into the presence of God, we lift up our hands to the Father. That means, God, I want a touch from you. I want to be close to you. Could you pick me up? Could you hold me? Could you comfort me? Father, I want to be close to you. That's what you're communicating to the Father, right? Secondly, it's also a sign of surrender. You know, if you see, like, criminals getting captured by cops and stuff, you know, like, put down your arms, guns, whatever, you know, put it down and, you know, lift up your hands, whatever. I don't know what they say, but 총 버리고 손 올려, right? That's what they say. Right? But it's not, like, reluctant type of, like, criminal type of surrender, but, like, when you do it to the Lord, it's like saying, it's sweet surrender. It's a sweet and willing surrender saying, God, I know your ways are higher. I know you know everything better than me. So I surrender my life to you. Lord, lead me, guide me. You do whatever you want to do with my life. I let go of control. You know, when you lift up your hands are open. That means I let go of the control, God. Do what you want to do. It's a sweet, sweet surrender. And when you lift up your hands, that's a powerful symbol of you giving God fresh surrender. Thirdly, it's also an expression of freedom and victory. When you cheer for your favorite sports team, I do not have one, but what do? Do you just sit there quietly and meditate on how they're playing? No, automatically when they score or when they won the game, what do? You throw up your hands and you start to scream and shout and jump up and down and act crazy, right? Y'all, I know y'all do, right? And that's how you are wired. When you're excited, when you're full of joy, when you know that, whoa, my team won the victory, what do? Naturally, you just throw up shoot out your hands into the air, just like the word yada means. And when you are in the presence of God where there's joy, you know, where you know that, man, I have the victory. My Jesus conquered the world. You know, when you know that ultimate victory, what do? You can't help but to lift up your hands and praise him. Come on, put your hands up and you praise him, right? Come on, put your hands up and praise him. I'm No DJ here. Okay. Freedom and victory. That's what you're expressing in the place of worship. So you're not just doing a religious act. This is a posture of praise that means so much to the Father. So when you come into the presence of God, feel free to do it. So I'm going to invite up the praise team. We're going to close with the song of praise together. At every campus, I invite the praise team to come on the stage. And I want you guys to sing together. Give God fresh praise. Let's break through together as a community. What are you waiting for? We have more than enough reasons to praise Him today and right now. Amen? And I want to just invite you guys to stand. Just two things. Earlier I mentioned that my heart really burns for our leaders. So I want to encourage you. If when I was describing and talking to the leaders, if it sounds like I'm talking to you, it's probably because you've been going through the season. And I want to encourage you, New Philly leaders, break through today with your praise. Don't wait for the breakthrough, but you break through with your praise. And as you do that, you are already breaking through. I just want to encourage you guys to do that. And also, I want to just speak to those people who have never lifted your hands in worship before. Okay? Maybe you were scared, self-conscious, forgot to wear deodorant, or forgot to shave, or I don't know what the reasons are. But, you know, maybe you grew up in a very conservative church, and then you were told not to do that because it's distracting to other people. Here, you guys are safe. Nobody's gonna tell you anything about your armpit smell. No one's gonna say anything about anything, okay? It's just you and the Lord. And I just wanna say that you are free. There's freedom in this place, amen? And if you've never done that, and I just wanna encourage you, today, try it. You know, just slip it up, you know, start from here, you know? And then maybe, you know, if you feel like it, sway back and forth, whatever. But, you know, as a powerful symbol to the Father, God, I want to touch you. I want to be close to you. God, I surrender today. God, what was the third one? Oh, the victory, victory. God, I'm victorious in you today. You know, express that freely. Nobody's watching. No one cares about your posture. Just do it before the Lord. So I just want to throw it out there. Every campus, worship pastors, take over. Let's give some awesome, fresh praise to the Lord. Are you guys ready? Come on, let's praise God.